Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Hi everyone, Ben here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Foo Lord, Justin Riley, Chris Taylor, Felix Merley Anderson, Chris Mahoney. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Episode 62 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
Ben Meredith.
And who are you playing?
Sir Bertram McGuffingham.
Hamid Salahuna Taham.
Sasha Rackett.
Zulf Smith.
And you're all flying. You're in a wonderful flying machine.
A whole new world.
I just want to sleep.
You don't want sleep, you want spells. Let's be honest.
Different words for the same thing.
I really feel like my experience of flying was completely undermined last time.
Oh, it was.
This was going to be such a wonderful, wonderful freeing, identity crafting, character moment, and then...
Well, it turns out your identity...
Bertie joined in.
He's just naturally good at stuff. That's how aristocracy works.
Let's do our quick recap. Our quick recap being, you all managed to escape Paris.
Yay.
Despite the best efforts of Lagomans' people. You also met up, obviously, with Oscar Wilde. You made it to the aeroport. However, at the aeroport, you sadly ended up running into a captain who's quite cool, but...
The ship of gnomes. And they tried to flee from us. And I was like, no, I want to pay you money! And then they were like, oh, okay.
So, upon the airship of gnomes, you met the captain. However, you also kind of had to leave Oscar Wilde behind.
Yeah, they did not get on.
Which is pretty much, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, that happens a lot for him.
We also found out that they are separatists.
Yes, so as far as...
Therefore, we have to keep quiet our connections to the meritocrats.
Yeah, that will probably chuck us off the ship, which will be unfun, because I doubt they're going to give us a parachute.
So, ship took off. Obviously, there was a brief piloting lesson for both Sasha and Bertie. And you ended up in the captain's cabin. Hammond being denied yet more sleep.
But replacing it with food.
Food is good.
And then we had a bit of an info drop regarding Zolf's backstory.
Yeah.
Ooh. I think that happened while I was still asleep. I don't remember being there.
No, we were at the dinner table.
Nice try. You didn't get any useful sleep. You're fine.
Yeah, so
and I got that kind of hour and a half, which just makes you feel worse.
Yep. So what did you learn?
Well, it turns out that my daddy Harold knew Rake Fine, and they were both part of an organisation of separatists.
Yeah.
The meritocrats were bad news.
Known as the Harlequins.
That's
or the Jesters, depending on
to which the gnome captain also belongs.
Picking up the conversation where we left off, a crew member bursts into the door and runs over to the captain, whispers something in the captain's ear, then runs out.
Perception to hear what you whispered?
Go for it.
Same.
Same.
That's quite a good roll, actually.
I'm just thinking about my date.
27.
12.
12.
The 27, you pick it up. It's just...
I don't speak gnomish.
It's just...
I forgot they might be speaking gnomish.
No, let's have this, let's have this. You really strain and really perfectly manage to angle yourself to hear... You're absolutely certain it was...
They might be speaking French, I don't know.
That could have happened.
Speak French.
I mean, to be fair, my sign language and lip reading does not specify whether it is, you know, gnomish is, sign language.
It is of any language you otherwise know.
Hurrah.
It's a shame because Percy speaks gnomish. He doesn't know he speaks gnomish. He speaks perfect gnomish.
So...
Just buzz him like, why are these gnomes speaking French?
So, the captain stands. I think we should probably head outside if you'll come join me for a second. She steps over, hops over the detritus that's covering the floor.
So we did finish the food.
You did not finish the food. Oh. She opens the door, steps outside,
Hammond
and doesn't wait
for
you to follow.
Grabs the largest item of food he can carry from off his plate.
An important distinction.
And slowly follows.
It's a ham hock intended for human-sized creatures, not yourself.
Yep. Bertie complains that
off my own plate.
Sasha
nicks
a drumstick.
Yeah.
I also nick a drumstick.
When I get back in, I'm going to have to order the cheese board.
It's these kind of details. It's this heat people tuning in.
You know what we really want?
We
really want to be really pulpy, so can we skip all of the minor details? Sure. This is the drumstick that specifically picked.
This is really more Game of Thrones.
Remember to add the item of food you just took to your inventory.
Yeah.
Have you factored it against your carrying capacity?
Yeah.
I've added in wish for the cheese board. The item Bertie is carrying.
I'm pretty sure we described many episodes ago now that the lobster banquet with cheesecake afters loving and exquisite detail.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it got cut, but I enjoyed it.
No, we did. And then the rack of different seafood restaurants when we Dover.
And we should go
Soggy Admiral, Soggy Captain, right down.
The Soggy Lieutenant.
Soggy Cabin Boy.
Which was just a cabin boy standing in the rain with like
prawns.
A bunch of weird sausages and prawns
in
his jacket.
He's just holding a prawn in his grimy palm. You have to eat it. He tries to keep his palm flat, but he doesn't always do it because he's got scurvy.
Heading outside.
Yeah.
Hammond is moving at like half speed and has been ever since you guys woke him up.
Yeah, I vaguely wander out.
Okay, so on the deck of the ship, your incline, as I was saying last episode, obviously is starting to get less steep. You're now heading out up to and above the cloud cover. And the crew are going around their jobs, and the captain, as previously, is clipped onto the guideline, and I'm presuming that you all clip onto your safety lines and all that as well. She climbs up to where the original steering column was and is looking out to the starboard side of the ship. All of you give me perception checks.
7.
14.
20, added up, not natural.
23.
Okay. Sasha and Zolf, looking over to that direction, you can discern something in the distance. The rest of you can't at this stage.
Hammond is scared of being blown away.
Sure.
Because he's very light.
Weigh himself down with a ham hock.
I mean, really, Sasha should be, since that did actually happen while we were on the channel.
So, Zolf and Sasha, you see there's something moving at an extreme distance around the clouds. The clouds are beginning to become
Is it the dragon destroying Paris? It is
something big but very, very distant. The captain...
There she blows!
The captain looking just a very, very grim set to her face. The rest of the crew stop working and start heading over to the starboard side. There's a slight lean to the ship now. Both Hammond and Bertie, you can now start to make out whatever it was that was moving in the distance. It's big, and it's directly over more or less the middle of Paris. The
Sasha sits quite a lot of times. Is that, but then realise she's not supposed to know that much about meritocrats or the plans that the meritocrats might have to raise the centre of Paris.
To stop the cascade of unsurety. What was that then?
No one responds to you. In fact, no one pays you any attention. As
rude.
Starting distant but getting deceptively loud, a huge echoing roar. Very, very distant, growing louder and louder. In fact, you're realizing that what it must be is an incredibly loud sound that you are effectively like hearing almost a Doppler effect as it's coming towards you. Finally, the roar hits. It is a huge roar. A huge echoing.
In the distance.
But it's extremely distant. You know that if you were where that noise has come from, you would probably be getting hurt just by the volume of that roar.
Taking some form of sonic damage.
Then...
it brings a small, wistful smile to Hammett's face. He doesn't know why.
Then, a pair of wings break from the cloud cover. They are massive. They are easily the biggest living thing that any of you have seen. In fact, it's arguably possibly the biggest thing that most of you have seen, full stop. The wingspan is huge, and the head arcs over the top. It is entirely of gold, and it just begins to catch glints in the shine of the rising sun, and it is dazzling. But when I say gold, it is a pure, untarnished gold that is shining, and as the sun begins to rise, the light just spreads
Sasha appraises.
Wider and wider. Yeah. You get an appraise overload, you are now stunned.
that sounds realistic. Yeah. In character, yep.
It beats its wings once, and its entire mass makes its way above the cloud cover. For a split second, you see it in a huge action pose, arced out, with the rising sun just catching its wings.
And it folds them to its size and arrows itself.
Yes, it does!
To drop like a stone straight back through the clouds.
The beginnings of some bright pyrotechnics are basically happening beneath the cloud cover. You can't see what it is, but this thing jets down, and then there is a moment of stillness and quiet. You then don't hear anything, but you see there is that much commotion. The cloud cover itself disturbs and rocks away from it. You then see there is this definite wave of disturbance moving through the clouds towards you.
That has become Dragon Destroyer of Worlds.
The captain...
hope everyone got out.
The captain, as an aside, just goes, brace! And with a really grim set, you see every single person hold on.
Likewise.
Yep, likewise, join in that.
I hold on to the ham with my teeth and use both hands to grip the ship.
Everyone give me a reflex save. Yep.
A critical fail.
That's a natural one from Zulf.
14.
Yep.
22.
Yep.
12.
So, everyone apart from Zulf.
Hello.
As it's approaching, you grab something, you brace, the ship rocks, you manage to hold on. Zulf.
Yes.
You run over, grab the railing. Realise that this is probably the place it's going to get hit most. So you run over, try and grab some kind of mast. But the mast is probably quite high, like the centre of gravity won't be right. And as you agonise over what is going to make you least likely to get blown overboard, get blown overboard.
I'm also going to say that I have a bout of seasickness.
Oh, it's only going to make it worse.
Yeah.
A beautiful...
We've already done this.
Breaks the cloud cover in a shining arc.
And as the dawn light breaks across it, purest gold.
So, you get thrown overboard. You are connected by the guideline. What actually happens is that you are thrown over the side and then get caught on the line and immediately slam into the side. You find yourself face to face with someone looking out of a porthole, looking extremely shocked.
Get me out!
The rest of the crew, hearing that, run over and haul you up using the guideline and bring you back on. They're unconcerned, they don't check you're okay, they just go...
I flop to the deck, hyperventilating.
With vomit on your lapel.
Hamid breaks...
I don't own lapels!
Hamid breaks you off a piece of ham and offers it to you.
I vomit a bit more.
The ham noise...
shrugs and eats it himself.
The ham, disgusting. Not the vomit!
The noise, whatever it was clearly some kind of big explosion, and there was a wave of warm-ish air that came with it. What that is, though, is considering the distance that you've already travelled from Paris, that was quite big.
Then, something nuclear weapons.
Then the ship continues to rise, and eventually
we'll
the crew...
We'll meet again.
I'm not riding
don't
down.
Don't know when, don't know when.
Just one phrase was fine, but it was beautiful.
I thought so, we harmonised very well.
So, the rest of the crew again, similarly grim looking, begin going about their work. The captain, without another word, stomps down back into her cabin and slams the door.
That's where all the food was, wasn't it?
I'm going to get some sleep.
Me too.
And I'm going to crawl off.
literally crawl off.
I'm going to take the remains of the ham hock and go back to the bed I was in before.
I think that is wise. Sasha, Bertie?
Bertie's still hungry, so he's going to try and get back into the meeting place.
The captain's cabin?
Captain's cabin.
Okay. Sasha?
Sasha's in a, she's got her drumstick. Right now, sleep would be nice.
That's wise. So the rest of you head below decks, and it's very easy to find yourselves a couple of cabins with hammocks and so on that are empty, and the gnomish crew are more than accommodating. They let you in, and just one of them actually shifts out of his bunk so that you guys can sleep there, and it's all fine. You do notice there were a couple of humans wandering around. They appear to be passengers, but they're just getting up, so they're sort of padding around wearing some kind of dressing gown and so on. They're not really aware of what's been going on. Bertie,
mm-hmm.
How do you attempt to enter? Do you knock or do you just enter?
The door's closed and it is the captain's cabin, and Bertie respects ranks and he will knock.
Okay. There's a delay. The captain then opens the door and looks at you. She looks weary and she opens the door and goes, yeah?
Good morning, Captain. Now,
morning.
I wondered when the and where the completion of breakfast might take place.
Oh, you can probably find something below decks. My appetite's kind of gone. What is it you want?
Breakfast?
She closes the door, comes back, a hunk of cheese in one hand and a baguette in the other, plants them both in your hands and goes, breakfast.
Excellent, thank you.
Closes the door.
No further investigation of that required. Excellent. Down below decks. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
Bertie takes the baguette and does, here comes the aeroplane to his own face with the bread.
Okay.
Airship. Tilting.
Give me a perception check.
12.
As you're heading below decks, you briefly have to push past someone who's padding down the corridor wearing a dressing gown. And you recognise them. And they recognise you. It's Harrison Campbell. The author that you met on the
well, you were going to throw into the lightning and then decided not to.
He didn't know that.
Yeah, but you knew that.
He looks at you.
He did realise what a terrible person you were.
He looks at you, his face opens, he looks extremely shocked, doesn't say anything, and goes...
Mr.
And then hurries,
Campbell!
Keeps hurrying,
yes,
hand on the door he's
again.
Going to, stops. Hello, Sir Bertrand, wasn't it?
Yes, still is, Mr. Campbell. What a pleasure it is for you to see me again. What a surprise! What a surprise! You know, people do fetch up in the funniest of places.
So we're already in the air.
We are, yes. All majestic. Like this baguette.
Right, yes. He's just looking at you. And he's clearly afraid. Not afraid that you're going to flip out, just afraid that there's a good chance everyone's going to die because you are on this ship, and you know this. And he's just kind of smiling and nodding the way that you would with someone who's holding a big gun.
So he now has phobia, Sir Bertrand.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a growing condition with an increasing prevalence in modern society.
Can I do sort of a sense motive to see whether Bertie picks up on that?
You can do a sense motive on Harrison, yes.
4. Bertie has no idea that he's eliciting this reaction.
He seems very affected by your presence, doesn't he?
Yes.
It's like
that's
he's,
all.
He's,
that's
yeah,
all.
That's definitely all. Possibly some, maybe a crush.
You know, I've had so many adventures since we last met, Mr. Campbell. Let me tell you about them. And Bertie opens the door of Mr. Campbell's cabin, walks straight in, because he's got an attentive audience, and will do for the next 6 to 7 hours.
We will skip ahead.
Fade to black. It was earlier.
You all wake up.
Fully rested?
Let's build to that. You all have all of your limbs. Bonus.
Woo!
Well, close enough.
Yeah.
All the limbs we staffed
with.
I've got 2 loners.
Slept without dreaming.
Okay.
You slept well. You are well rested. Aww. However, you're well rested for the first time in days.
That means that my hit points are refilled, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah!
Your hit points have been returning nicely. There is, however, a little bit of awkwardness. Sasha, yeah. When you wake up, aww. You have a look at the bunk you've been sleeping in, and you see that there's lots of blood stains in the hammock bunk that you've been sleeping on from your back. Give me a perception check.
26.
Also, you seem to have a scar. When you're getting dressed and you're giving your wash, all of them have a basic toilet and a basic sink in the rooms.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good shit. But you notice that you have a scar. And it's a scar that it's not something where you're like, oh, that's it. It's big. In fact, it's broadly speaking, it runs from each shoulder down towards sort of the middle of your chest.
Oh, right.
And then middle of the chest on the front, down towards around
the navel. I look like I've had an autopsy.
Yes, you do.
You don't look like you have had an autopsy.
Yeah, but she wasn't aware of that.
Well, there was. You know that there was no scarring there before. You checked.
Yeah.
The scarring is now there and it was not there before. It doesn't look livid or anything like that.
So
it's
I've got scurvy is the thing, right? Because like the actual way that scurvy works is that because it breaks down the collagen that you have in your body, all of your old scars, including the ones that are invisible or the ones that might be internal
begin
from surgery,
to show up
begin to open up again, which is why you end up losing your teeth. But it's much grosser than that because you end up all your old surgery scars things. So,
let's put it this
she
way.
She eats a lemon.
It's problem solved. It's all gone away now.
Well, no, see, Sasha would be very aware of things
of scurvy,
like,
I think.
Of scurvy and of rickets, because, of course, she grew up underground.
Yeah,
And we know of scurvy because I can do magic with scurvy.
Yeah, oh, that's a good idea, yeah.
To your eye, like it might be scurvy. You know expert, but this looks a lot like scurvy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, cutting away if you're finished talking about
it. Yeah, go for it.
Cool. So, I mean, Bertie's been talking to Harrison Campbell for hours and hours and hours.
So, what has actually been happening?
But he's an extrovert, so he gained energy from the fact that he was sharing stuff about himself. Yeah.
So, as you all begin to potter around, Bertie managed to have a good, let's say, 5 hours of one-sided conversation with poor Mr. Campbell.
Recounting his adventure in Hannibal's tomb and later chronicling.
And then managed to basically go for what he thought was an afternoon nap. You have all woken up having slept through an entire day.
Oh, nice.
So you've actually been now in the air at least a day.
Yeah.
You're waking up the morning after you went to sleep in the morning.
And Bertie also has these autopsy scars.
No.
Okay.
Only Sasha.
Oh no, you weren't autopsied.
Oh, sorry, this is a weird
thing. I got autopsied from the time I was dead.
They didn't sneak in and do a vivisection.
You're like, I want to be part of this.
Just check it.
Although, tell you what, as a story, you're on this lovely, lovely ship. Yeah. You all wake up having been autopsied.
You're going to learn my real name, Amelia Frankenstein.
So that's what I thought you were going for. Yes. So.
Those that aren't aware, we do have a sister horror podcast.
Yeah.
So you all are basically padding up onto the ship proper. You notice
Sasha isn't. She's very carefully dressing her wounds.
Okay, true. But as you're all sort of getting together, you become aware that the layout of the ship is, broadly speaking, there is the top deck, which is for the sailing. There is the middle deck, which you are all currently on, which is the first deck below the actual top deck, which is basically passengers. It is not particularly luxurious, but it's fairly impressive given, like, Hamid, you've been on airships before. There are an impressive amount of facilities, given it's how small it is.
Yeah.
And there is about 3 other rooms, not including the 2 rooms that you were split across.
So we all shared a room.
Zolf and Hamid were in their own room together. Sasha, you had a room to yourself. And Bertie, you actually ended up having a room to yourself because there's not that many passengers. So, there is also on this deck a lounge. And in that lounge, basically, you can be provided some food. The very bottom deck is entirely based in engineering and crew quarters. You're encouraged not to go down there. No one particularly cares. But Bertie, you'd have a hard time fitting.
Oh, it's built in gnome height.
So we will skip to, you are now all in the lounge. You have done your morning ablutions. You are looking out at the sky and appear to be flying over vaguely mountainous terrain. It is a lovely clear day. And we will take a break there and be back in a couple of minutes.
Hey, you, yeah, no, you with a face, yeah. I know I shouldn't be here, but got in like a wet ferret slipping through the hands of a moisturiser salesman. You know me. I just needed to let you know about this deal, right? You head over to rustyquill.com and follow the links to the store, or go on redbubble.com and search for us. I've been appraising this stuff, and it is good. There's all sorts of stuff in there. You want Brutor's face on a mug? You got it. You want Hamid's face on the wall? It's there. You want Bertie's face? Why? Yeah, well, I gotta go now, but you just remember, right? Head over to rustyquill.com, follow the links. Tell them I sent you. Just, I just wondered, though, are you gonna eat all that eel quiche?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
And welcome back. There was our first ever ad break where no one was in peril.
No.
How was it? Did you like it?
Nice.
Was it restful?
I took lots of pictures of the scenery. I'm sitting, to remember this moment.
I'm sitting as close to the middle of the room as possible and not looking at any windows at all.
Give me a fort save.
Yeah, okay. That is 18.
You are better than you were.
Good, I'm getting
you
used to
it. You are not happy, but you are not nauseous.
Screw you, inner ears!
Sasha has spent the time feeling distinctly uncomfortable and gradually sort of moving over to Zolf to kind of, you know. Look, just had a thought. I think I might have scurvy.
Right. Okay. Have you tried eating a lemon?
Well, the thing is, I eat as many lemons as everyone else, right?
All right.
But I keep, and sort of she sort of takes off her leather jacket.
Wait, tell you what, should we just go back to a cabin and I will actually do a proper medical examination?
But you already did that, right? And then
yeah, but
it's all...
I've actually had a night's sleep and can do so not from a wheelchair. So should we have like a proper one? And just get it sorted.
It's the awkwardest... I guess, all right, yep. It's fine.
I mean, if you don't want to, it's fine.
It hurts. And also, I look like I've been taken apart and put back together again.
Yeah, also, I've healed you properly. It shouldn't... Yeah, let's go have a look and see what
so
I can do.
So, let's assume that you had to Sasha's room, you know?
Yeah.
The empty one that's just her room.
Where he sees that the hammock is soaked in blood.
Yes.
Not a good sign.
Giving an examination, give me a heal check.
16
total.
So
yeah.
Do I get any bonuses for actually no I take 10.
Yeah, you can. You can take 20 if you want.
Yeah, I'll take 20.
I don't know, I might get too awkward after 10.
I'm gonna...
I like the idea of failing a medical exam though. No idea. I've actually been looking at a sink all this time. Awkward.
Oh, you've got this weird faucet. I don't know where that's come from. So yeah, I'll allow you to take 20 on this specific check.
Yeah.
Gosh, it would be nice if the NHS allowed.
Good news, bad news. The good news is, whatever's wrong with her appears comparatively superficial. You run through, you know, do you have any symptoms? Do you have any headaches? Do you have any pain? And as much as you said it hurts, in truth, not really. Like, it's not that you feel like you've been injured or anything like that. You're actually the perkiest you've been since, in as long as you can remember, you've actually rested. You've actually had a night's sleep. So you're in a weird situation, Zolf, where her self-diagnosis of, I think I might have scurvy. Yeah, actually, you know what? That's not necessarily a bad call. It has a lot of the hallmarks of scurvy. But she's missing a lot of the symptoms of scurvy because a lot of new scars have shown up in her. Scars that she has forgotten she's ever had. But you feel fine. Like, you genuinely feel...
Perky.
Woo! And you're still zipping around. Like, you've not lost any balance or anything like that. You feel, like I said. So it's a bit of a weird one where she has, let's say, a very obvious symptom of scurvy, and that is it.
And also, is this the first time, if she shrugged off her masterwork leather armour and let him see her back, he can see the fact that it is just a perfect imprint of a falcon?
Yes, like, it is the clearest it's ever been.
So it's like...
Quick question, when did you... You got that when...
I got squashed.
By Bertie.
Yeah.
I see, the interesting...
It hurt.
Yeah. Might want to... Just a suggestion, aesthetically. Might want to get a tattoo to break up the outline of that, because if he ever sees it, he's going to be absolutely insufferable.
I don't really intend him ever to see my back. I'm quite careful about really always facing Bertie. Don't really trust him enough.
Fair enough. Well, you know, each their own. Yes, I am going to... Can I actually make a knowledge arcana or knowledge religion supplemented by my heal skill? Because if it's not a health thing and it's something weird, it might be either magic or gods, because that's usually the basic.
Give me knowledge arcana.
So that is 19, not including a supplementary heal.
So that 19 will chuck in a couple of points because you've done a full medical examination, so you can eliminate a bunch of things. There's a magical effect going on here, but it's a really hard one to pin down. It is not something that you are specifically familiar with. It is likely that whatever it is going to be getting worse. You believe that your healing magic will keep it at bay, whatever it is, but you will need to go investigate this properly.
Right, so in our pulpy high adventure, high fun... Season 2, you've given Lyd's character a mysterious
degenerative
disease.
Yeah. this is what people think is fun.
A fun, pulpy one.
Well, like, and it's
a high-octane, buzzing adventure.
Her body's slowly going to degrade into a pulp. This is what you all asked for. I don't understand.
Right, so...
I've got He's a psychopath, but we respect his
craft.
So, I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which one do you want first?
I don't really believe in good news.
Oh, God, that's a catchphrase.
Amazing.
I love it.
So, on a t-shirt.
Absolutely.
Sash's
face. Done. Job done. Yeah.
So, should I just give you the bad news then?
Well, I'm assuming the one is a cover for the other, so, like, cut to
the
chase.
No, not really. All right. You've got a degenerative magical disease.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like any good news.
Well, that was the bad news.
Right.
This is why it's two separate things.
Yeah, but I don't think any good news could really balance that out.
Well...
You've got a degenerative magical disease, but you're starting to go glittery.
No, but... I reckon...
Oh, my word. Nice haircut. Shame you're falling out.
I know people deal with bad news differently, but for goodness sake, what I'm saying is, right, got a degenerative magical disease, don't know what it is, but we are going to the Centre of Magic so we can research it, that's great. We've also got Hamid, I'll bring him in once you've got your kit back on. What I am saying
I've
is
got
that...
my kit, I've got all I let you see was my back.
I meant your bandoliers. What I'm saying is, I think that my restorative powers can just keep it at bay, right? So it's not like you're going to wither away and die straight away. As long as you're with me, you should be fine. And let's get... I've got, limited working knowledge of how magic works that's not divine. So get Hamid in. We can have a look. See what's what.
I thought getting blown up on the regular was bad.
Well, I mean, this is just magically blown up.
But slowly, right, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that all things are being blown up. Entropy.
Yeah, you've got...
Common knowledge of the streets, on the streets of other London.
She had, 2 years of people trying to put her in school and it not really working out.
If there was ever a system that would teach people entropy, it's Other London.
Yeah.
Right. So should we, let's go see
in
Hamid.
In character, yeah, she really loves entropy.
Should we go see Hamid then?
No.
All right.
Let's just wait until there's an actual specialist. He's not a specialist. He doesn't even, Hamid will just get freaked out and throw up, right?
I'm doing my shocked and appalled face
there is a, okay,
for the listeners at
that
home.
Is at worst a 50-50.
This scene's been perfect.
And don't tell Bertie for the love of...
Well, no, why would I tell Bertie? You can't shout the problem away. Anyway, no, look,
if you just heal me up now.
Yeah, all right.
We'll talk to some expert and then love to explain the fact that I got, like, a diet.
You've got wizard scurvy.
Okay, I've got wizard...
Zolf.
Is it catching?
Zolf, you spend... I'm just going to skip this ahead. You spend a cure light wounds. That's all it takes?
That's cool. I'm going to spend it of one of those spells that I've definitely written down that I've prepared today.
Yep, you spend a cure light wounds.
Yep.
What effect it actually has is it reduces everything down. However, the new scars that have appeared are still visible, but nothing is, like, bleeding, nothing is separated. You just have a very fine scar now. Yeah. The autopsy scar is very fine and visible. Unless someone's literally coming and giving you a medical examination, no one's going to see.
Are there mechanical effects in terms of either hit points or flexibility and movement?
No, there are not.
Right.
See, I reckon it's something to do with the rubbish that Mr. Seelin put in you.
Really? Really? I hadn't put that together, Zolf. Because I thought it might have been about...
But Mr. Seelin did.
Cut to Hamid and Bertie. While this has been going on...
This vintage is lovely, Bertie, don't you think so? And what a splendid view!
Isn't it charming? And Bertie and Hamid, should we say we're promenading around the deck? I think taking a turn...
No, Hamid isn't going above decks if he can avoid it.
Okay, right.
I'm in the lounge.
You can promenade around the lounge.
Chair.
Okay, all right, fair enough. In that case.
Smoking jackets.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are smoking jackets on a hook by the door if you want them.
I'm wearing my own.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. How gauche of me.
So obviously Hamid can, but does Bertie carry... Has this entire adventure...
He's in his armour the whole time. Yeah.
The door briefly opens. Someone appears to peek in the door and then immediately close it and you hear footsteps padding away.
Bertie does not notice.
15?
You notice, but you've no idea who it is.
Hammer goes back to sipping the wine.
It's good wine.
Yeah.
Cut back to Zolf and Sasha.
Draft. And here is a draft.
Hey.
Deal. Yeah.
It really is the only way to travel, I think.
I think so.
Back to Zolf and Sasha.
All right, well, I guess I'd better go back to... I don't know, just, you know, waiting to degrade and
No,
die.
Look.
I could do that at the top of the rigging. I think that would be quite fun. All right, see ya.
Wait, no, no.
Opens the door, walks out.
I'm not going to let that happen to you.
And it goes up and then is on the
Give me
deck.
A perception check, Sasha.
20. That, not natural. Added.
Sure, sure. You notice someone, comparatively well-dressed, quickly rushing away, very suspicious-looking, in their movement away from the lounge. They run down the corridor and up the far stairs, presumably to the top deck.
Well, that's where Sasha's going anyway, because she wants to go up onto the deck, so...
Following the person?
Yeah.
You don't even need to make a stealth check. They do not notice you.
Oh, she's not following them to follow that. She just wants to climb up some rigging.
I merely mean walking behind the person. They head upstairs, and on the top deck, they have a look around, guideline themselves, and on shaky feet, go right to the prow of the ship and seem to sort of sequester themselves in a little nook. Not hiding, they've just found an out-of-the-way bit of the ship and have hidden away.
They're not standing at the front doing Titanic.
No, they are not. So, I am going to skip time ahead unless anyone has any big plans for today. Yeah. Does anyone have any big plans for today?
I'm going to ask the captain if she has any textbooks on magic or medicine.
Okay.
Sasha is going to try and make friends with some of the gnomes that are climbing up the interesting ship rigging and sort of get some odd jobs to do while sort of being acrobatic and fun, going up and down all the fun things to climb.
Hamid, any particular plans?
No.
No is a good answer as well.
Bertie is going to make friends with the wine list.
It is not particularly extensive. So, going round the table, I will deal with Sasha first. Roll me a knowledge local.
Well, that's the thing, right? I need to get to know some people to get that. Okay, so 21.
21?
Yeah.
You have a bit of friction at the start insofar as they don't really want to talk to you. They'd rather just continue going about their business, and they speak almost exclusively in Gnomish. However, it becomes rapidly apparent that you are actually useful and you're not one of those passengers that they get who's like, oh, I definitely want to help. Here, let me tie this knot. I don't know how rope works. So you manage, it takes the whole day. You manage to ingratiate yourself to the point where they know your name, they'll have a chat, and...
But she's not that interested in talking that much. It's just like, so is there... Can I get you anything? I'm just, like, climbing.
What you discover while speaking to them is that they actually were in Paris on totally legitimate business, and what they were rushing out of the warehouse was their legitimate shipment, and the only reason they were trying to rush out is they didn't want to get caught up in other people's things, because for a trader, that's really bad news.
Yeah, and the whole dragon fire and is kind of bad news.
And they are carrying a shipment of cheeses. They have loads and loads of cheeses upon on board.
Don't tell Hamid.
Hamid and Bertie, both of you give me a perception check.
Drinking and carousing. Yes. 9.
12.
Do they get boozed penalties?
You managed to get yourself pleasantly tipsy.
I was worried I might roll less than Bertie
not,
for a second there.
Not
and remember
completely
my bonus
drunk.
Is plus 9.
Hamid, you don't get particularly drunk, but what you do notice...
I'm very... Yeah, I don't drink a lot. I drink slowly
and
savour it.
Yeah, you're enjoying it. What you do notice is, as you're sort of doing things around the ship, maybe you nip out to go to the toilet and come back and someone's definitely trying to avoid you two. They're not following you, but any time that you've accidentally run into them in this comparatively small space, they've immediately turned tail. That's been your whole day. You've mostly spent it. There's a selection of decent enough novels on a bookshelf. There are also some, you know, travel accounts of the European tour.
Watching the scenery go by out
of
the lounge
as
well.
The scenery's gorgeous. Yeah. It's absolutely gorgeous. You're heading across what is mostly either rural farmlands giving way to wilds, but in a sort of well-maintained way. So clearly that there are people
deer
living
parks,
managed
forests.
Managed forests, things like that. Like it's probably the nicest view. It's the nicest time you've had in weeks.
Are there any other people around in the lounge coming in and out?
There is one woman who comes in. She's extremely dowdy and doesn't want to talk. She places herself in a corner, pulls out a slim volume, begins reading, and isn't particularly interested in any kind of conversation unless you chase that down. She doesn't seem to approve of either of you.
No, in that case, no, Bertie has no interest in this person, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Zolf.
Yes.
We will skip to, you are in the captain's cabin. The table has been reverted back to charts, etc. And she is in a much better mood today. Back to how affable she was after Wilde got kicked off. The faint smile's back. We will skip to, you basically have sat down. So, what is it that I can do for you? It was Smith, wasn't
Zolf.
It?
Yeah. I need to distract myself very air sick, I suppose.
Oh, sure.
So I don't know if you happen to have any textbooks or volumes on magical medicine.
We have a healer on board.
Right, okay.
He's okay. I don't tell him I said that. He's a lovely guy, but you know, he can deal with bumps and scrapes. Anything big we have to pull into port.
Right.
She goes over to a bookcase that she has, fiddles with the runs her fingers along the spines, goes, reaches over, pulls a lever, the bookcase drops down into the floor, another bookcase seems to rotate its way around. She goes through again, there we go. She pulls out a couple of volumes, puts them down. They're extremely out-of-date medical journals. They're accurate, but also like there's nothing particularly insightful. It's, you know, liver goes here, kidneys go here. You should probably have two.
Two livers.
Yes, for both.
Party times, guys! Woo! Got
you know
spare
what?
Party liver in.
You're only looking at the Sylph page. Just skip past that. Get back to humans and stuff. Listen, all Zolf. Right. While I have you on your own, actually, Zolf. So you mentioned that you were going to Prague. I'm for another member of the Harlequins. Yeah, I'm happy to redirect. I mean, it's along our way anyway.
Thank you.
I have to ask the rest of your group. How much do they know about? Like, I'm assuming that you have another mission beyond whatever they're coming along for.
No. Remember the whole part where you told me my dad would remember the Harlequins, and
so
I was that's news to me. No idea.
All I'm getting at is, I get the impression that this Prague thing is important. Can I give you a hand, is what I'm asking, beyond just getting you there?
No. No,
I mean,
it's fine.
She casts a critical eye over what you're wearing, which is basic at best. How would you describe what you're wearing?
Some underclothes. I'm in a onesie.
So that is what long johns are.
Listen,
a onesie, a woodsman's onesie.
But like from the knee down, they're soaked through because of course it's like
no, they're
water.
Not. They're not. That's part of the magical properties. They don't actually get things wet.
Oh,
yep.
You don't leave wet footprints.
Don't leave wet footprints.
Maybe a slight mildewy smell, but that's about it.
My personal hygiene is very good.
Yeah, this water is refreshing.
Listen, Zolf, I realize that you didn't, you weren't aware that, you know, your father's history and things like that, but you are a member of the Harlequins. It's not a thing that you choose. Whether you act on it is none of my business, but...
So it's like Judaism. I know that can't go in, but...
But the thing is, Zolf, is, I mean, as a Harlequin, you can ask for the help. Like, that's okay. Like, I'm looking at you, and what I'm seeing is someone who needs some help.
I'm going to one of the places with the highest level of magical artifacts in the world, so I'll just buy some stuff, that's fine.
I mean, we can outfit you here. I can outfit your people as well if they're with you. It's no bother. We can do this. It's not particularly difficult. I mean, you're not going to get, you know, Prague-level enchantments and stuff, but I can certainly hook you up.
No, that's fine, then.
Nothing?
Just slap the GM in the face! Boom!
If you don't have anything...
Slap! Slap!
If you don't have...
Slap!
This is bad listening.
If you don't have anything
uppercut
particularly special, then like no, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
If you want me to borrow a jacket? Sure. But...
Fair enough. In that case, yeah, you have the run of the ship. I ask you, obviously, don't disturb the other passengers, and we'll be in Prague probably. There's a decent enough headwind, so I'd say it's probably going to be a couple of days more at least.
All right, well, you've got this doctor of yours. If they're not up to snuff and they need a bit of a hand, I'll offer it, you know, part of the passage payment.
Oh, well, it's kind of you to offer. I'll send anyone your way if they actually get hurt. It, mostly things tend to run smoothly.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not exploding.
Yeah, all right.
Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right, bye.
We'll skip ahead to the evening. You're all into the lounge together. Does anyone have anything particularly interesting to roleplay? Otherwise, I'm going to keep accelerating time.
Accelerate time?
It's the next morning. Do any of you have a big plan for the day?
No.
Nope.
I feel like I should do something with my time, but I explore the ship further. What other facilities are available on the ship?
Mostly it's everything that I already said. There is the captain's cabin on the top deck. There is the top deck, as I said. The actual facilities for guests are actually... As impressive as they are, it's still basic stuff.
Yeah.
In your room, there is a toilet, and there is a sink, which fold away.
Yeah.
The lounge has books, a nice big view-sized porthole, oval-shaped.
A chess set, a backgammon set.
Yeah.
Okay. Bertie's going to get try and find somebody to buff his armour, because it's looking a bit beaten up. So he's going to find, like, a shoeshine boy, but, like, a full-body shoeshine boy.
I'm not even going to get you to roll for this one. There is no one aboard who is willing to shine your armour for you, and the other guests are avoiding you.
Does Bertie notice that they're avoiding him?
Give me a perception, dog.
16-15.
Yes.
Bertie's going to go and visit Harrison Campbell. He doesn't care that he's avoiding him.
Where do you go to find Harrison Campbell?
Campbell's cabin.
He's not there.
Bertie waits.
Give me one more perception check.
Is he hiding in his
18.
Oh, you see Harrison Campbell on the roof, his legs and arms stretched out, quivering. He's hidden on the ceiling, hoping that Bertie doesn't look up.
Ah, Mr. Campbell!
Not canon. Oh. Not canon. You do see...
Can we let Lynn GM this game? That's amazing.
Let's be honest, like, she's bringing all of the pulpy to this adventure right now. I'm just bringing disease. So, as you are waiting... Inside Harrison Campbell's cabin, it wasn't locked even though there's a keyhole. You hear footsteps approaching the door.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see a bit of movement at the keyhole. And then before you can react, you hear the distinct sounds of rushing footsteps rushing away.
Okay.
Evening draws in. You are heading to sleep. Harrison Campbell has not returned to his bedroom.
Bertie, getting bored, starts searching through Harrison Campbell's stuff. Idly at first, and then he's like, ooh, yeah.
Manuscripts of unpublished novels.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna end the episode there, and we'll find out what was there.
Oh my god.
All the Bertie fanfic. It is all there.
I was thinking about my romantic novels.
I'm
too excited to talk.
Harrison Campbell's the novelist.
He's the novelist that I really like.
The fact that you don't know has only aided your RPE.
Yeah. It's just the fact that I don't know what he looks like.
You've never seen him, there's no photos.
And,
you have no idea he's here. No.
Bertie, I think, does know that you like Harrison Campbell's
novels. Yes, because you have one of his books.
You found his book.
Yeah, found it.
You've been reading it.
Yeah.
He he still hasn't put the two and two together, so he's seen
we'll
the book.
We'll do a wisdom check next episode to see if you realise. But I'm closing it there.
I hadn't put that together.
I hope that you all tune in next time and we will continue this adventure that's mostly sitting around having a lovely time for once.
Yeah, lovely.
This has been the best episode in ages.
See you guys.
Bye. Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
They
kind of bad news.
And they are carrying a shipment of cheeses.
Nice.
They have loads and loads of cheeses on board. Jumping.
Wait. Because I really need to know, out of character.
The thing is,
I need to know what sort of cheeses these are.
I don't like cheese, so I forget that Hamid does.
So I do love cheese. Yeah. I tend to keep an average of 6 different kinds in the fridge anyway for a good platter.
I will give you a blanket response of, it's all cheeses that you require It's all cheeses that you require special licenses to ship around the world.
Ooh, so unpasteurized blue French stuff.
Yeah. It's a time-sensitive shipment.
Delicious. Oh, nice.
I'm not sure we can even roleplay Hamid. That, guys. That's beyond my acting ability.
It's fine, we can swap. And I'll just be like, hello, I'm Hamid. Also, this is a very good care filly.
Hamid.
Tread carefully, Lydia.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.